Good morning, WLLY listeners. This is Brother Amen Dave Moran. The Amen Corner is on the air again. We'll have some good singing and music, as well as some old-time preaching. Amen. You can listen to WLLY anywhere you want to by going to WLLYradio.com. And it's all one word, WLLYradio.com. And just follow the instructions. This program is part of my personal ministry to see God's Word glorified. If I can plant a seed in your heart or water a seed already there, I pray God will give the increase. To God be the glory. Amen. So here is today's program. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to start the program off today with some singing. It's going to be me singing A Mansion Over the Hilltop. This is Sister Jennifer Lewis, and I believe it might be Brittany also singing with her. Have faith in what the Bible said. Everything is going to turn out right. You'll see.
Just do your best to be my savior. And you take your suit downstairs.
Okay, for our last song of the day before our preaching, we've got a real treat for you. It's going to be Caroline Beechner and Sister Jennifer Lewis singing One More Mountain to Climb. It's a rare recording, but I'm glad I have it.
In my little life span, my strength and my weight, the battle gets harder.
to begin today in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 8. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, "Finally," Peter is saying, "be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." We can inherit a blessing by blessing one another. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Here Peter is quoting the book of Psalms. "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer unto every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And he's talking about the hope that we have. And you've got to have that hope. You've got to have that. And he says, "Give an answer with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." And we've explained that word conversation also means conduct, your good conduct and your good conversation. "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." He went, when he died on the cross, he went into hell and actually preached to the spirits that were there, which sometimes, it says in verse 20, were disobedient. These people were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So he preached to all those thousands and thousands of people that had perished in the flood. So they were not completely all lost. Jesus went and preached to them and got some of them saved. "The like figure whereunto," in verse 21, "even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." And there's a scripture that I'm going to look up. Here we are in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah 34. I'll begin at the first verse. It says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem, and against all the cities thereof, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire." It was for all their sin, for the worship of Baal, for the offering of their children to Moloch, and all the sins, the things that they were doing at that time. And he says in verse 3, "And thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand, and thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon." It says, "Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not die by the sword, but thou shalt die in peace with the burnings of thy fathers. And he goes on to explain some things that'll happen to him, but actually what happened is the King Nebuchadnezzar killed Zedekiah's children and many of his officials and his best men in front of his face, and then they put out Zedekiah's eyes and took him in chains to Babylon. But he was warning him and said, look, your eyes are going to behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with you mouth to mouth. You're going to meet him one day. And this Jesus that we just talked about, who was on the right hand of God, we're all going to meet him one day. And our eyes will meet his eyes, and we'll be talking to him mouth to mouth. What will he say in that day? I wanted to bring that out. Thank God I did. I preached on that one time. That was the subject of my sermon. But here we're going back to the book of 1 Peter. Okay, now we're back in 1 Peter chapter 4. We got through with chapter 3 and chapter 4, 1. It says, forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with that same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness and lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. We would say partying, you know, and idolatry, worshiping other gods. Wherein they think it strange that you not run with them, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. That is your neighbors, people that you may know that are still not saved. They will think it strange. Who shall give an account to him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Let me reread that. Wherein they think it strange that you turn not with them through the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. See, what we were just talking about, your eyes are going to see his eyes, you know, and your mouth is going to speak mouth to mouth with the Lord one day. For this cause, in verse 6, was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, going back to Jesus preaching to the dead in hell, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. They were given another chance at that time. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. And of course, you know charity is love, a very pure love. Charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The many-fold, the manifold, the multiple graces that God gives you. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, and if any man minister, let him do it of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad, and also with exceeding joy. In other words, when you see eye to eye with the Lord one day, you'll be happy because you obeyed him. For if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. God is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. A lot of people are preaching that today. I've heard that quite a bit in my lifetime, that judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? If the church is the one that's going to go through judgment first, what shall happen to the ones who obey not the gospel, who don't confess their sins to the Lord and ask him to save them? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And Peter goes on in chapter 5, talking to the elders. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ." He watched as Jesus was crucified, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He has seen much of the glory that should be revealed. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not just for the money, not just for the goods, filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples unto the flock." You know, the Lord said, "He that would be greatest among you, let him be the servant of all." In 4 it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Going back to that idea, when your eyes meet his eyes, you know, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Remember that he, the last, shall be first. That's what Jesus said. They that are last shall be first. In other words, they that are counted as last among people, you know, they look down on you, but you're a Christian, you'll be the head of the line. When you meet the Lord, you'll be in the head, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's a wonderful scripture. Cast all your care upon him, upon the Lord Jesus, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever, by Silvanus, a faithful brother to you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is in Babylon, elect together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be unto you, and peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the end of the book of First Peter. We go on from there to the book of Second Peter, but we're not going to do that today.
This has been the Amen Corner radio program with Dave Foran. This program is on the air each Saturday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you all for tuning in. If you're looking for a home church or a church to visit, come to our services here at Harbor Light Holiness Church on Highway 42 East, just about 2 miles from Wilson, on the left-hand side, just past Tarts Mill Road. Sunday service is at 10:30 a.m. and evening service is at 6 p.m. Our midweek service is at 7 p.m. on Tuesdays, so you can come and visit. Brother Irvin Lewis is our pastor. He'll be very happy to see you there.